I wanna say to mother, to the neighborhood, you know it makes them mad to see me living so good in my white trash paradise. I wanna spend my nights drinking Schaefer Light and smoking cheap cigarettes. I want a waterbed to rest my head and a pit bull for my pet.
White trash paradise. All right, Daryl Lee Rush, getting things going for us this morning on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Cable Smith. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Man, I love Saturdays, my favorite day of the week. And this is my favorite hour of my favorite day. How much hunting and fishing talk can we cram into 1 hour? That's the question. I don't really know the answer. I do know, however, that we're going to have a heck of a good time. I hope that you all had great weeks last week. I know that I did, and I especially enjoyed the much-anticipated Season 6 premiere of Deadliest Catch on Tuesday evening. The Lone Star Outdoor Show's own Captain Keith Colburn of The Wizard got punked out by Captain Jonathan of The Time Bandit. Remember, Captain Keith was on the show 2 weeks ago, and that podcast is saved right there on my homepage if you missed the interview. Be sure to check it out before next Tuesday's episode, if you haven't already. We've got a great show lined up for you this morning. The boss, the head honcho over at Texas Parks and Wildlife, Carter Smith. He's the executive director. He'll stop by coming up here in a few minutes. And then later on, we'll have Glenn Bentley. He's the executive director of the Lone Star chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. And they're having a big bass fishing tournament on Lake Ray Hubbard coming up in June, and we'll talk about that as well. And coming up here in just a second, we'll have a fishing report with Brian Pritchard of Stripers, Inc. But before we do that, you know, this is about the time in the show where we usually read our excerpt from the book Poachers, Crooks, and Other Turkeys, written by our Texas game wardens for Lone Star Outdoor News. But we have a resident turkey residing right here in DFW as Robbie Rose of Garland pled guilty to cheating in a bass tournament on Lake Ray Hubbard, which took place, I believe, last October. The 45-year-old Mr. Rose actually stuck a 1-pound weight in the gullet of an 8-pound bass prior to the final day's weigh-in on that Lake Ray Hubbard tournament. The grand prize was a $55,000 brand spanking new bass boat, so there was a lot at stake. Mr. Rose, if you stick a 1-pound weight in the gullet of an 8-pound bass, guess what's going to happen at weigh-in? That now 9-pound bass isn't going to be able to hold its own body weight up, and it's going to sink to the bottom of the tank. So all I have to say to you is congratulations. You're an idiot and a cheat. Now, Robbie, there is an open invitation for you to call me up if you want to talk about this after you get out of the slammer. I understand you'll be spending 15 days there paying $3,000 in fines. You pled guilty to a felony theft charge, and you'll also lose your fishing license for 5 years. All of that seems perfectly fair to me, but reading through this Dallas Morning News article, you make yourself out to be a victim here. So if that's really how you feel, and this isn't some bit that you're doing, please do give me a call. I'd love to get your side of the story here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Moving right along this morning, you know, spring is here, and that means that the fishing on our area lakes should be picking up. And that's why I've asked Brian Pritchard of Stripers, Inc. to come on the show this morning and give us a Lake Texoma fishing report. Brian, it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining the show this morning.
Pleasure's all mine.
Well, Brian, now that we've finally had some consistent warm weather, tell me about the conditions on Texoma and how the fishing's been overall.
Well, the fishing has drastically improved the past couple of weeks, the warmer weather we've been having. A lot of the fish are coming back and spawning, so we're getting a lot of our big fish back in the main parts of the lake. Most of the fish are scattered out in flat areas in 20 foot of water. Anywhere between 15 to 25 foot should be your best bet, but fishing is really turning on the past couple of weeks.
Brian, the rising water temperatures on all of our area lakes means better fishing. What is the average temperature right now on Lake Texoma?
I'm starting to mark surface temperatures in around 60 degrees, which is ideal for striper fishing. Anytime the water temperature is between 60 and 75 degrees, we should be catching limits just about every trip we go out on.
Everyone, be sure to go check out Brian's website, www.stripersinc.com, or you can click on his logo on my homepage. That'll take you right there as well. Brian, I know that you've been putting a hurting on the stripers as of late, but what about other reports? Have you seen or heard anything good about the crappie spawn? Have they started to move up into the shallow water yet?
I've heard people doing well back in the Hagerman area and up the creeks in general. Around the boathouses, they're doing pretty good. I know catfish are starting to show up at the cleaning dock. There's no threadfin shad to be caught, but I think rumor is they're in the process of trying to get some stock back in the lake. But the plus side of that is just about anybody can go out and catch striper because they're eating shiners like no other. That's what we're having to use for bait right now, and it's working very well.
All right, Brian. Well, thanks for stopping by this morning. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to our striper trip coming up here very soon.
Thanks for having me on, but I look forward to it.
All right, Brian. Well, I'll see you next week. And for all of you guys out there, if you're considering striper fishing on Texoma, you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't look up Brian and give him a shot. Brian has lived on Texoma his entire life, so he definitely knows where the striper are. Now, shifting gears here for just a second before we take a break, the DU, Ducks Unlimited National Sporting Expo, is coming to Grapevine. That's right, it'll be at the Gaylord Texan the last weekend of May. And so for the next 5 weeks leading up to the event, we're going to have a special guest that DU is going to provide us with. The guest will vary from the National Duck Stamp Artist Champion to a World Calling Champion in Jim Ronquist, and maybe even the new DU CEO, Dale Hall. We'll just have to see how that plays out, but there's a good chance we'll get him on as well. I am ecstatic about it. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with Carter Smith, the executive director of Texas Parks and Wildlife. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Range.
New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail.
Hey outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising, so let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. Game Guard's vent back shirts are offered in 7 great colors and perform like no others. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
Outdoors are always looking for the best way to prepare our meats, and that's why you should check out Smoke and Tex. Smoke and Tex builds fully electric, portable, stainless steel ovens that are built to last. We feature amazing customer service with an industry-best 2-year warranty. Visit us at www.smokeandtex.com for the easiest way to gently cook moist and tender brisket, ribs, chicken, fish, and wild game. Prep the food, load the oven, add wood, set the temperature, and walk away. The static air environment locks in the flavor for you. Call 888-922-1511 or visit us at smokeandtex.com and tell them you heard about it on the Lone Star Outdoor Show for an exclusive special.
Largemouth bass fishing on Lake Fork is a Texas tradition, and Tim Walker of Tim Walker's Guide Service has been guiding on Lake Fork for over a decade. He can put you on a trophy largemouth or a full stringer of crappie. He also offers night trips on Fork and summertime stripers and hybrids in Lake Tawakoni. Stop by his Lake Fork bait shop located at 5190 North FM 17 and say hello, or check out the website at timwalkersguideservice.com. for the fishing trip you won't soon forget, give Tim a call at 817-999-7876.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Patty, this is Roger Craig, listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
A little more than a few old guns handed down the line. Once owned by my nana and papa, but now they're mine.
Good morning, Cable Smith, welcoming you back to the presentation. One of my favorite Roger Craiger songs right there. And Roger's going to stop by next week and tell us all about those family guns that were passed on to him from his grandfather. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, before I bring on my first guest this morning, I need to give you a little background information. Did you know that Governor Rick Perry has proposed a $25 million cut in the budget for Texas Parks and Wildlife? Unbelievable, right? Well, considering the circumstances, I thought it imperative for us to get to know who's looking out for us at the head of Texas Parks and Wildlife. It is now my distinct pleasure to introduce Texas Parks and Wildlife Executive Director Carter Smith to the show. Carter, thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thank you, Cable. Delighted to join you.
Carter, first off, tell me about your history with Texas Parks and Wildlife. Kind of take me through the journey that resulted in you becoming the executive director of the entire department.
Well, and what an extraordinary privilege this job is. My introduction to the agency actually came when I was a kid and had the privilege of getting to know a game warden and a wildlife biologist in Gonzales County that assisted our family on our ranching operations down there, both the game warden obviously on law enforcement related things and the wildlife biologist on some of the game management plans that we were implementing on the ranch. And so both of those individuals had a profound influence on me on deciding to select this as a career. And when I graduated from Texas Tech with a degree in wildlife management, I was granted an internship to come work for the agency for almost 2 years, where I worked in the private lands and public hunting programs, and in fact started the public hunting dove leasing program that the agency still has today. And so very, very proud to have that history with it. And ended up leaving the agency to go back to graduate school and kind of wound my way through my career in science and in conservation and ultimately came back to the agency a little over 2 years ago as the agency's executive director.
So it all started with a college internship, huh? Pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, it really was a great opportunity. I had, again, a lot of exposure to the agency, again, first through Mark Mitchell, who's still a wildlife biologist with us, who was down in Gonzales County at the time, and then Glenn Zochleben, who's the sheriff in Gonzales now, but was our game warden growing up. And when I got into college and ultimately transferred over to Texas Tech and started studying wildlife management, I had a lot of opportunities to work with parks and wildlife biologists on various projects involving pronghorn antelope and mule deer and bighorn sheep and bobwhite quail. And so then when I had the opportunity to spend a couple of years with the agency, I jumped on it, and it was a great way to help prepare for graduate school and to further my interest in this career.
Man, with all the ducks and geese out there in West Texas, it's a miracle you found any time at all to study.
I did. I spent a lot of time on the playas. You know, and that's really a little known secret is just how much wildlife abounds out there in the panhandle.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's not a bad thing. But certainly I found I had some of the best duck and geese and sandhill crane hunts that I've ever had when I was in school up there, and candidly had some of the best dove hunts outside of Lubbock when I was in school there. And a very fond memory in particular of little pilgrimages that a couple of us would make over to the Matador Wildlife Management Area to participate in their public hunting opportunities for dove and quail. And, you know, we would just get up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and then drive over there and be there at sunup and spend the entire day on the wildlife area there, and just relished every minute of it.
What is your favorite part about your job?
I guess the favorite part of the job is really the diversity of things that I get to get involved in, just because it involves so many things, from, you know, the fisheries and wildlife management side to the law enforcement and the state parks. You know, literally every part of your brain is being exercised with a different challenge in the scope of an hour. I mean, you sort of move from, you know, working on some issue involving bighorn sheep restoration out in West Texas, and the next minute you find yourself wrestling with, you know, how you're going to get and pay for the dry berthing of a World War One era dreadnought battleship, you know, on the Texas coast. I really enjoy that. I really enjoy all of the constituents who we work for, our hunters and anglers and outdoor enthusiasts and park users that invest in the work in this agency, and working on their behalf is unquestionably the most satisfying part of this job.
Well, we all know that every job, no matter how great, no matter how much you like it, has a few low points. What do you dislike about your job?
Oh, you know, there's always a few low points. There's no doubt about it. And some of it, you know, has to do with the gravity of the situations that we're placed in here at the agency. You know, having to attend the murder trial of one of our game wardens was a very sobering moment for me in my career. Going to the funerals of colleagues that have passed away, a game warden and a biologist and others, those that have died while on duty. Those are very sobering moments, because it certainly makes you reflect on the sanctity of life, but also how colleagues literally and figuratively put their lives on the line each and every day for the state's fish and wildlife and our hunters and anglers. And that's just a very, very good reminder about the importance of life and what we're doing. You know, certainly is one can probably guess the politics of the job can get pretty intense at times.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's a little bit of dodging of bullets and arrows.
Yes, politics. You had to bring it up, didn't you? Actually, I'm glad you did, Carter, because that's one thing I wanted to talk about specifically this morning. A lot's been made about Governor Perry's proposed budget cut that would decrease Texas Parks and Wildlife's 2-year budget by $25 million. What is the current status of Governor Perry's proposal?
Well, first, just a little context. The governor and the speaker and the lieutenant governor asked all state agencies, save and except a very few, to put together a 5% reduction plan for the current biennium, so our current 2-year budgets, what we call our fiscal year 10 and fiscal year 11, and that was about a $25 million reduction in our budget over this current two-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And we've submitted that plan. We've been told that it is likely to be expected to be accepted, and so we will certainly see those dollars reduced in our budgets. You know, we made a very deliberate decision when approaching this to do everything we could to reduce impact on core services to our anglers and hunters and outdoor enthusiasts.
That's the good news I was looking to hear.
You know, with this plan, we're not closing any state parks. We're not closing any fish hatcheries. We're not closing any wildlife management areas. We're not cutting any game warden positions or fisheries or wildlife biologists. We're really trying to manage things as much as we can behind the scenes so that our core constituents don't see the impacts of these cuts on a day-to-day basis. Now, believe me, there are impacts of it, and all of us have to do our part in this time, and we've been asked by the governor and the other leadership to do this, and we absolutely will. But we're trying to do so in a way that will minimize the impact on our constituents.
Well, Carter, $25 million is a lot of money. So in what areas of your department can we expect to see the biggest decrease in available funding?
You know, we operate almost 100 state park units around the state, 8 fish hatcheries, 51 wildlife management areas. We have offices all throughout the state. You know, 75% of our staff are located in the field. So we've got a lot of infrastructure to take care of, building and facilities and equipment and vehicles and boats and trailers and so forth to steward, you know, the lands and waters. And so we're having to cut back fairly substantially on our capital repair budget. Mm-hmm. And so that just means that maintenance needs that have been longstanding will continue to be deferred. But again, that's a strategic decision that we made as part of it.
So what you're saying is don't be surprised if I come across my game warden and he's stuck out in the middle of Lake Ray Roberts or stranded on the side of I-35 because his boat or his truck broke down. Go ahead and give him a ride because it's not his fault. He's working with some old equipment there.
Well, please do. And fortunately, there's going to be almost minimal impact on our state's law enforcement officers and game warden.
Glad to hear it.
This year and next, we have had to cut back some of the operational costs for our fisheries and wildlife and law enforcement divisions, but are really doing everything we can to make sure that, you know, our law enforcement officers are not feeling that at all in the field in terms of any kind of reduction in patrols on the water and on the country roads. So really, capital construction related reductions. We also had to reduce some funds for, you know, replacement vehicles and boats and trailers and lawnmowers and tractors. Again, kind of putting off those purchases. We're going to cut back a little bit on land acquisition. And also some pass-through grants that we have to communities around the state who are looking to acquire and develop new park sites.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say those are the areas where we've had to reduce our expenses the most as part of this $25 million reduction.
If you're just tuning in, we're visiting with Texas Parks and Wildlife Executive Director Carter Smith on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. When was the last time Texas Parks and Wildlife actually saw an increase in their biannual budget?
Well, we've seen fairly appreciable increases. I mean, even from fiscal year 09 to 10, which is the current fiscal year that we're in prior to this 5% reduction, we had seen almost an 11% increase in our budgets, again, benefiting both state parks and fisheries and wildlife interests and law enforcement interests. And in the session prior to that, we had seen a very substantial increase in funds for state parks, both on capital repairs, capital equipment, new positions. Now, in the last session, we saw some additional funds to be able to put more game wardens through the academy and also make sure they were well outfitted.
Right.
We also saw the ability to utilize additional revenue to address some much needed pay or compensation issues for our fisheries and wildlife biologists and game wardens, and we were able to put those in place, which is very important both on a recruitment and retention perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, I mean, Texas has to stay competitive with what other states are paying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just essential. We want to make sure that not only do we attract, but we also retain the best and brightest on our fisheries and wildlife and law enforcement side, and making sure that they're paid competitively with other state and federal agencies and to some extent the private sector is something we aspire to do. We can't always do that, but we got a lot of support for that last session, and we're very grateful for that.
All right, Carter, there's one question that I, along with probably every Texas outdoorsman, wants to know the answer to, and that's, will we see an increase in the cost of our hunting and fishing licenses in an attempt to recoup some of the lost funding from Governor Perry's proposal?
No, the average angler and hunter is not likely to see the impact of this $25 million reduction. Now, we are not looking at any kind of an increase in the cost of our hunting and fishing licenses. With the support of our hunters and anglers, we put a modest 5% increase in hunting and fishing license fees in this year. We had a lot of support for our hunters and anglers in doing so, but no, we're not contemplating any increase.
That's what I wanted to hear. Well, Carter, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's get into some hunting regulation talk. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Range.
And I think about my life and wonder why that I slowly die inside.
Come experience the beef jerky outlet by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland. We carry the best jerkies, 8 different flavors of Sunland peanut butter, and a wide range of hot sauces and delicious salsas. Ever tried deep-fried peanuts? They are so good you can eat the whole shell. We also have gourmet Wisconsin cheeses available to sample. You can also enjoy our edible crickets, worms, and scorpion suckers. So let the outdoorsman in you experience the beef jerky outlet for yourself. Check out our website at www.dallasjerky.com. Beef Jerky Outlet, located by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland.
All right, guys and gals, spring turkey is finally here, and if you're like me, you're looking for a great way to show off that trophy gobbler. With a full line of turkey fan mounting kits, Texas European Mounts has you covered. From their traditional oak plaques to a truly Texan mesquite plaque, there's something for everyone. So whether you're a hobbyist or a full-time taxidermist, Texas European Mounts has what you need. Check them out at www.texaseuropeanmounts.com or give them a call at 940-631-4334. That's www.texaseuropeanmounts.com.
We all know that outdoorsmen are rough on their gear, rough on their dogs, and rough on themselves. So whether you fall out of a deer stand or wreck your face in an ATV accident, let Dr. Connie Smith fix your broken teeth. Dr. Smith has been practicing in Dallas for over 20 years and is conveniently located at the intersection of Preston and Forest. Experience state-of-the-art dentistry delivered by a gentle and highly skilled dentist and staff and a warm, caring atmosphere. Dr. Connie J. Smith uses state-of-the-art dental techniques to help you achieve the beautiful smile of your dreams. Call 972-239-7551. That's 972-239-7551.
The Y.O. Ranch Steakhouse combines an elegance and southern hospitality reminiscent of their famous South Texas ranch. I've had the signature buffalo filet, hands down the best steak I've ever eaten. Featuring a full menu of steak, seafood, and wild game, this is the steakhouse for the outdoorsman. Located in Dallas's historic West End District, call 214-744-3287 or visit them online at www.yoranchsteakhouse.com. Tell Tony you heard about them on the range and get 15% off your meal. Y.O. Ranch Steakhouse, the official steakhouse of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas' oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSC. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide.
For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my buddy Jerry Malzahn over at Malzahn Landscape. The warm weather means it's time to get that lawn looking beautiful. So whether you need mowing and weed eating or a full overhaul, Malzahn is the only choice. Malzahn Landscape has been serving the North Dallas and University Park areas for over 30 years. There's no job too big. I know firsthand, having worked for Jerry for an entire summer while in high school. Call 972-556-1901 and let Malzahn Landscape work their magic on your yard. That's 972-556-1901.
He's an outlaw loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. And I've still got Texas Parks and Wildlife Executive Director Carter Smith on the line. But first, I wanted to remind you to keep sending me your best outdoor photos for a chance to win a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News. Each monthly photo of the month winner will have their photo proudly displayed on my homepage at texasoutdoorsmedia.com. And you'll also be entered into our grand prize contest where we're giving away a trophy whitetail or wild boar hunt at the end of the year. So you don't want to miss out on that opportunity. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and pick it back up with Carter Smith, who is nice enough to stay on the line through the break. Carter, are there any game regulations that you would like to see changed before the 2010-2011 hunting season?
Well, I think that's a really good question, Cable. First, let me just say that we are always looking at our regulations to make sure that they're accomplishing two things. You know, first and foremost, that they are protecting the resource. You know, clearly that's our charge. But secondly, wanting to make sure that within the constraints of protecting that resource and making sure that we do no harm, that we are doing everything we can to maximize recreational opportunity. And so those two criteria really govern everything that we do. On both the fishing and hunting side, we have an annual regulations process that we go through very thoughtfully with our biologists and our game wardens, making sure everything is enforceable. But certainly this summer and early fall in particular, we will be getting prepared for the annual regulation cycle and scoping some issues. We've got some regulations out there right now that we want to continue to monitor and make sure that they're having the desired effect. You know, we now, I think, have over 100 counties that are have the antler restrictions in place for whitetail deer, the 13-inch inside spread rule.
Yep, my buddy Curly's favorite topic.
Interestingly, I've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. Together, any four deer hunters, and you're likely to get five opinions about things.
Uh-huh.
But that's one we're actually, 80-85% of hunters seem to like that and see the improved age class structure. They see bigger and more mature deer out in the field and enjoy that. So actually we're pretty pleased on that. You know, we've got a regulation in place on alligator gar that we put in place last year, some new regulations on flounder that we're watching carefully to make sure that we can kind of bring back that stock. We just finished a pretty extensive hunter opinion survey, asking hunters their attitudes about issues having to do with seasons and bag limits and timing of seasons and so forth on dove, quail, and turkey. And so we're evaluating those to see if there's anything there we might want to look at in the future. I grew up where, September 1st, in Central Texas, it was sacrosanct. It was open day of dove season.
Mm-hmm.
And come hell or high water, I was going to be out there in the field hunting doves growing up. And one of the questions that we asked hunters in that survey was, whether or not they wanted to see the opener of dove season start traditionally September 1st, irrespective of where that fell in the week, or whether they prefer it be the first Saturday in September. And I was a little surprised that about only 60% of the respondents said they preferred the traditional September 1st date. So some interesting things like that we're kind of taking a look at. But always looking at trying to improve the regulations, again, doing anything we can to better manage, better steward the resource, and also making sure that our hunters and anglers have as many opportunities in the field as we can give them.
We know that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service sets the framework for migratory game birds, but as far as pheasants go, Carter, I've always wondered why you can kill three pheasants but have five shells in your shotgun. Meanwhile, you can kill six ducks but only have three shells in your shotgun. I assume pheasant regulations are set on a state-to-state basis, huh?
It is. The pheasant, all the upland game birds, the quail and turkey and pheasant is set by the state. And so we set those seasons again based on what populations are doing in different parts of the state, and looking again at how we can best maximize opportunity and ensuring though that it's not going to have an adverse impact on the resources. But yes, we set those rules and regulations.
Well, I got to give you guys a pat on the back, because if you took the U.S. Fish and Wildlife stance, you'd be allowed to shoot three pheasants but only have one shell in your gun.
So yeah.
Yeah, certainly anyone that wants to further understand those regulations and why they're in place to help protect our migratory birds, would encourage folks to visit with the appropriate person at Fish and Wildlife Service.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for all migratory birds. And I think a lot of hunters understand that is when we're managing a migratory game bird that is found in multiple states and multiple countries, we've got to do that thoughtfully and in coordination with our partner states and partner countries.
Carter, let's change directions now for a minute. What do you think has been Texas Parks and Wildlife's single greatest success since you've been at the helm of the department?
Well, my goodness, all of the success that this agency has is a direct function of all of my colleagues out there in the field that are working, you know, day in and day out to restore habitat for fish and wildlife, you know, whether it's bringing bighorn sheep back to, you know, population levels approaching, you know, 1,500 to 1,600 animals, you know, near what we had back in the late 1800s, you know, whether it's adding new lands for state parks for folks to be able to access at places like Garner and Lost Maples and Paladura Canyon, where we were able to protect, you know, 6 miles of rim frontage. You know, whether it's, you know, putting in place, you know, sensible regulations, working with CCA and others to protect our flounder stocks. Mm-hmm. Our fisheries and wildlife biologists and game wardens and park managers really just do an extraordinary job. And my job is to support them, to help enable them, to help provide them with resources, to help provide, you know, a big vision and big direction for them on, you know, how we get to ensuring that our fish and wildlife heritage is passed on to future generations. And that is a great, 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 great privilege. But, their successes are many, and it's a great privilege to be a part of that day in and day out.
Once again, we're visiting with Texas Parks and Wildlife Executive Director Carter Smith this morning. Carter, if you had to pick one of our Texas game animals that you'd say has been the biggest headache for you in the department as far as management goes, which species would you say it was?
Well, you know, we spend a lot of time on whitetail deer. It's our most, of course, numerous big game animal in the state, with a population well over 4 million, and, you know, over 500,000 deer hunters in the state. And certainly, we spend a lot of time on the stewardship and management and hunting opportunities of that species. And a lot of that is a function of just also all of the new permits that we have to help enable and facilitate private landowners and their stewardship of wildlife, but particularly deer. But yeah, we spend a lot of time on deer, but that's not the only thing we spend time on. And you know, we obviously do a lot of work on our coastal fisheries, our inland fisheries, our non-game, our migratory birds, our habitat. And so we are focused on a lot of strategic elements of restoring and managing and conserving our fish and wildlife in the state. But if there's one game animal that gets an inordinate amount of attention, it's probably white-tailed deer. And to be fair, you know, that's probably fair given the huge amount of interest in it. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that bobwhite quail and grassland birds are very, very deserving of our attention right now. We've been very concerned about population declines in the state, and obviously throughout the entirety of their range. And so we're spending a lot of time with partners on trying to look at ways to better understand how we can manage quail, how we can put together large contiguous blocks of suitable grassland and brushland habitat that'll benefit bobwhite quail. We've been spending a lot of time recently on lesser prairie chickens, which, you know, have been a game species in the state. We didn't open up the season last year. We've seen their populations decline precipitously for reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with hunting. But we're certainly concerned about that bird. So investing a lot of time in a lot of species, but certainly white-tailed deer get a lot of attention.
Let me ask you about one species in particular that crosses ranges with just about every Texas game animal, and that is feral hogs. We all know they're a huge issue. How big of a problem are they becoming for Texas Parks and Wildlife from a management standpoint?
Well, feral hogs are a big problem in the state. You know, they are, you know, very destructive. They're prolific breeders. You know, they produce 3 litters a year, and with the reproductive cycle of 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days, it just seems like there are little shoats and gilts running around the countryside all the time, and they continue to expand their range and move into counties where we haven't historically found them. You know, we've been very concerned, just like many invasive species, at how quickly they reproduce and how rapidly they are gaining ground on us. you've got a hunting license, you can hunt 365 days a year, and there is no bag limit. And we encourage our hunters and anglers to do everything they can to try to control populations. Also, to be fair, a lot of hunters enjoy pursuing them as a game animal. Feral hogs, when handled responsibly and safely, make great, great table fare.
What are your thoughts on the proposed pork chopper legislation drafted by State Representative Sid Miller of Stephenville that would, if accepted, allow landowners to recoup some money lost to feral hog destruction by selling helicopter hog hunts on their property?
There was a lot of discussion about that, about Representative Miller's legislation last session, and certainly understand that there will be a lot of discussion and discourse about that in the coming session. Our focus really is on a couple of things. I mean, we're interested in doing everything we can to help control these burgeoning numbers of feral hogs in the state. We also want to make sure that hunters have, you know, the most amount of recreational opportunities to participate in that. You know, if we're called as a, which I suspect we will be, as a resource witness on that issue to talk about law enforcement related considerations and also wildlife related considerations, we'll certainly be available as a resource to the legislature when they call upon us.
One last question for you, Carter, before I let you get out of here this morning. What has been the most memorable experience that has occurred in your time as executive director of Texas Parks and Wildlife?
Oh, that's a great question, Cable. God, there have been so many of them. It's hard to put my finger on any one of them in particular. But I'd say the most memorable event that's happened since I've been executive director was a very difficult one, and but one ultimately that gave me a lot of pride in just the resilience and strength and capabilities of the people that work here. And that had to do with the agency's response to Hurricane Ike. You know, that was a devastating storm that came in September of 2008. Just catastrophic impacts on Galveston and in the upper coast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we as an agency suffered over $100 million in damages to our state parks and wildlife management areas and fish hatcheries that were impacted from it. I mean, two state parks, Galveston Island and Sea Rim, that were literally completely obliterated. We had the Candy Abshire Wildlife Management Area. We had a debris pile that was blown in from the Bolivar Peninsula there onto Smith Point that deposited debris, you know, 40 acres in size. I mean, so imagine 40 football fields covered with debris up to 12 to 15 feet high on a wildlife area. And, you know, to watch our employees, who some of whom completely lost their homes, had their homes damaged, suffered, you know, extraordinary duress and damage themselves, to go back to work, to work on cleaning things up. I mean, our game wardens were the first ones over the Bolivar Peninsula to rescue folks that had made the decision to ride out the storm. And I remember very vividly getting a call from an individual who had made a decision to ride out that storm and, you know, was just ever so thankful to be alive. And he told me the happiest sound in his entire life was hearing one of our game wardens come across that marsh in an airboat after the storm to pick him up after that storm. And that has always stuck with me.
Profound stuff there, my friend. And you know, it's funny how in the most trying and worst times, people's real colors come out. And honestly, I wouldn't have expected anything less from your department. Carter, thanks for stopping by this morning. It's been a real treat.
Thank you, Cable. I've enjoyed it as well. Thanks for allowing me to be a guest on your show.
My pleasure. Let's do it again sometime soon.
I look forward to it. Cable, thank you, sir. Enjoyed the visit, and thanks for your interest in all this stuff and all you do to kind of get the word out and deal with issues on the hunting and fishing side. And so that's a critical deal for us. And so anytime we can be of help, just holler at us.
Will do, my friend. Oh, goodness, look at the time. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Glenn Bentley. He's the executive director of the Lone Star Chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Range.
In the desert, Cease to valley, hell, I might try them all.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today.
If you enjoy fishing, then you've got to go fishing on Lake Texoma with Brian Pritchard at Stripers, Inc. Brian has a lifetime of experience fishing Texoma and takes the utmost pride in providing the highest quality care for his customers to ensure an experience they'll never forget by becoming a friend rather than just a fishing guide. You are guaranteed to catch fish with Brian or your trip will be free. Check out his website at www.stripersinc.com or give him a call at 903-815-1609 to set up your next fishing trip.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting! Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Listen up, anglers, because you need to know about the unbeatable prices at Moe's Tackle Unlimited. Moe's is a web-based tackle supply company that offers deep, discounted prices. Lures, hooks, flies, freshwater, and saltwater, Moe's has it covered. Our goal at Moe's Tackle Shop is to provide super service, top-shelf quality, and great prices. Check us out at moestackleshop.com and enter the promo code LoneStarOutdoorShow to save an additional 10% on your order. That's www.moestackleshop.com.
Ever want to ditch that Texas summer heat and go on the trip of a lifetime? Rogue Excursions is currently trying to fill limited spots for the 2010 summer season. Sportsmen can see Alaska firsthand, take advantage of the plentiful fisheries and breathtaking views, hook up with all five Pacific salmon species, battle giant halibut and ling cod, and other native species. Located in beautiful Sitka, our operation is designed to be the trip of a lifetime. Visit us at www.rogueexcursions.com or call Captain Cameron Clifton personally at 817-994-2254 and ask for the range special.
All right, this is Phil Robertson, better known as the Duck Commander. This is the Lone Star Outdoor Show, 95.3 The Range.
Good morning, Cable Smith welcoming you back to the presentation, and I am just thrilled to death that you're choosing to spend your Saturday morning with me right here on KHYI. Did you know that a bass fishing tournament for our country's finest heroes is coming to Lake Ray Hubbard? We're going to get into that in just a minute. But first, I want to remind you to check out my concert calendar on my website, TexasOutdoorsMedia.com. Got a full lineup of your favorite range artists, so you can find out when they're coming through your neck of the woods. You don't want to miss out on that. Oh, and if you ever miss a show, it's no big deal, because they're all saved right there on the homepage as podcast. Yes, sir, this technology thing is pretty cool. Anyway, let's go ahead and bring on my next guest, Mr. Glenn Bentley. He is the executive director of the Lone Star Chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Glenn, it's great to visit with you this morning. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Glenn, your organization, which is the Lone Star Chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, is putting on a bass fishing tournament here in the North Texas area in June. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about the history of the PVA.
Yeah, the Paralyzed Veterans of America were formed almost 65 years ago, right after World War II. It was a group that of paralyzed veterans who had come back from World War II needing better health care and being watched after. So what they did is they formed a group to try to incorporate better health care for veterans with spinal cord injuries and or diseases. And they started as a small group, and they grew to a national group. We're currently over 20,000 members nationwide, to include Puerto Rico. And we are advocates of the health care system for the veterans at the veterans centers. We have 24 spinal cord centers nationwide that we help make sure they're maintained properly. And we advocate for the veterans to get out into the community and get involved in the community. And one of the ways we do it is through our sports department. That's why you see this fishing tournament coming up. It's a good avenue to get not only veterans but all people with disabilities out on the water and enjoying the day and realizing that even with a disability, they can still maintain themselves and enjoy an active, healthy life.
Uh-huh. And about how many PVA chapters are there across the country?
Across the country, I have 34 chapters, to include one chapter in Puerto Rico. Our chapter covers the northern half of Texas. We have a second chapter in Texas, which is actually headquartered in Houston, and they cover the southern part of the state.
Are you a veteran, Glenn?
Yes, I am.
First of all, thank you for your service. Which war did you serve in?
I was in Desert Storm.
And are you disabled?
I am disabled. I was disabled 1 year after I retired from the active duty. I had spent 20 years in the military, retired, and then 1 year later I sustained a spinal cord injury. And the misconception sometimes is people think Paralyzed Veterans of America are just combat injured veterans, which is not the case. The Paralyzed Veterans of America are any veteran who has served honorably in the military and sustained a spinal cord injury or disease before or after their military service. So I am a combat veteran, but I was one of the fortunate ones that came home without any kind of injuries. But then I sustained a spinal cord injury 1 year after my retirement.
Well, Glenn, if you don't mind me asking, would you tell us the extent of your disability?
I'm a T12 paraplegic. I had a sustained spinal cord injury and work-related injury. So I am confined to a wheelchair, but that has not slowed me down at all. I'm very active in everything I do.
So will you be on the water for the Texas Roundup?
On this tournament, I will not be on the water because I'm one of the directors of the tournament. So I'll be very active in the behind-the-scenes activities. I'll be helping out with the emceeing of the event. I'll be helping out with the organization of the participants and just doing a lot of logistical stuff for this event because this is our event here in Texas, and I am the executive director for the organization. I do participate in other events. 2 weeks ago, I just came back from fishing a tournament on Clark Hill Lake in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, it doesn't sound like your injury has held you back at all, Glenn. If someone listening this morning is a disabled veteran or knows someone who would enjoy the upcoming tournament, how can they get involved with the Texas Roundup on Lake Ray Hubbard?
To get involved with Texas Roundup is very, very easy. If they have a disability, be a disabled angler on the water, all they need is a mobility impairment. They don't need to be a veteran. They can be a veteran or a non-veteran, have a mobility impairment, and they can go to our PVA national website, which is www.pva.org, and then click on sports and recreation and go to boating and fishing and just look for Texas Roundup and click on it, and they can register online for the tournament. If they're a boater who's looking to assist and come out and provide a boat for our disabled anglers, they can also do the same thing. They can go on the website and click on sports and just go to Texas Roundup, and on the application they click a boat partner opposed to a disabled angler, and they could help out too.
That's great. Glenn, I was looking over the PVA website and noticed that y'all are involved in getting people in the outdoors and more than just the fishing tournaments. For example, I see on here that y'all do a lot of shooting sports.
Yes, we do have a large shooting program going on. We have besides having a bass tournament, which is a circuit, we actually have 6 bass tournaments around the United States. We also have trap shooting, and we have several trap shooting events around the United States. We have operations where we take veterans to hunting expeditions. We have an annual event where they can go to hunt moose and bear up in Alaska once a year. There's a
wow.
It's a lottery where they draw on that one. We have a saltwater fishing off the coast of Florida that we provide for our veterans, and there's a lot of local chapter level events that go on quite a bit, quail hunting, different types of hunting and fishing events that go on, both freshwater and saltwater fishing as well.
Once again, we're visiting with Glenn Bentley, the executive director of the Lone Star chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Glenn, tell us a little bit about the format for the upcoming Texas Roundup on Lake Ray Hubbard.
Yes, what we've done is we've partnered with the Bass Pro Shop of Garland. They've been very generous to us. They've opened up their doors 100% and allowing us to use their facility both for our registration, our meetings, and our dinner on Friday and Saturday night. What we do is on Friday, they will come to the Bass Pro Shop of Garland. We register all the participants at that time, starting at 4:30 that evening. And then at 7:30 that night, we do a, what was called the partner pairing. It's a random draw partner pairing where we take able-bodied anglers with boats and pair them up for disabled anglers. Some of the disabled anglers do have their own boats, so we also need some non-boat boat partners. We pair them up on that evening. On Saturday morning prior to fishing, we have a team of volunteers who will help assist the disabled angler into the boat. We will load the disabled anglers into the boat on Saturday morning. Then they will be shuttled over to the boat ramp where they will be put in the water boat where they're the able-bodied disabled together in the boat. Then they'll go out on the water, and they'll usually be on the water from approximately 5:30 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. Then they'll come in at 3 p.m. They come in. We'll have a rolling weigh-in where they'll actually stay in the boats and be trailered across the weigh-in line and get to weigh in their fish and have photographs taken and so forth. And then following that will be an award ceremony. There, we also have what is called a bank division for the anglers who may not feel comfortable about being on the water but still want to fish, and they can fish from the floating docks. Bass Pro provides us the use of their floating docks that are on Ray Hubbard. And we have a division that's made up strictly for these individuals. A lot of these individuals are the higher level injuries that are in power chairs or possibly don't feel comfortable on getting on the water since their disability. And it's a good stepping stone for them to get used to it before they go out on a boat.
Nice. So something for everybody.
Yes, there is. And to include, Bass Pro has opened up their little ponds in front of their facility to allow us to have a kid fish on Saturday and Sunday for the children of the disabled anglers who happen to be there at the tournament.
Glenn, shifting gears here for just a second, what is the makeup of the PVA as far as what wars, what conflicts did most of your members fight in? I'm assuming a lot of them are from Vietnam and probably Korea. Do y'all have a fair number of younger members from Desert Storm like you served in, or more recently the conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Right. Currently we have, I would say, it's a pretty good mix out there. We have, well, unfortunately, we have quite a few losing, but we still have some World War II veterans that were injured during World War II that are in our ranks. We have some Korea. We have quite a few Vietnam veterans. Probably a fair amount of Gulf War. And the current conflict, we don't have a significant amount. Thankfully, we have better armament, better body protections. So spinal cord injuries aren't that predominant in this current war. Unfortunately, it's the traumatic brain injuries that are occurring on this war.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, what is the most rewarding part about your involvement with the PVA?
Giving back to the veterans. After serving 20 years, I feel... I came in here really not knowing what my job would entail as the executive director of this organization here in Dallas. By doing it, I feel like I'm giving back to the veterans, and I'm seeing results. I can go out there to the VA and speak with veterans, or I can go to functions and speak to veterans and feel like I'm really helping them. There's a lot of veterans that don't know what they're entitled to through the VA. And a lot of veterans came back from different conflicts feeling that they didn't get injured, hurt, or maimed or anything, so they feel they're not entitled to VA benefits, which is a misconception on their part. And it's good to go out there and talk to these vets, especially World War II veterans, running into them and realizing that they may need a little bit of help, and they don't realize they could turn to the VA for that help. And this, we're kind of a guide to make sure that does happen.
Well, Glenn, once again, thanks for your service. It's been really nice talking with you this morning. Everyone, remember the website, www.pva.org. Is that right, Glenn?
That is our national one, and our local one here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is mypva.org, www.mypva.org. And privileged to talk to you about this, and we look forward to our tournament, which, like we had stated, will be on June 11, 12, and 13 at the Bass Pro Shop at Lake Ray Hubbard.
All right, Glenn, thanks again, and God bless you.
Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate all the support we get from you and your listeners out there.
We are about out of time for this morning, but I want to leave you with one challenge, and that is before next week's show, so before next Saturday morning, thank a veteran or active member of our fine country's military, as they are willing to put it all on the line. Some of them come home in body bags. Some of them come home missing limbs and disabled. And some of them come home with just the mental torture of seeing their best friend get killed. So before next week's show, take the time to say thank you to just one former or active member of our military, because it's through their sacrifices and their sacrifices alone that we are able to enjoy the freedoms that we do in this country today. Thanks to all of our guests this morning. Of course, Carter Smith of Texas Parks and Wildlife, Glenn Bentley, who we just visited with, and Brian Pritchard of Stripers, Inc., who gave us our fishing report this morning. Also, a reminder that a big-time saltwater angler who happens to moonlight as one of your favorite range artists, that's right, Roger Krager, will join the program next week. You don't want to miss it. Tune in same time next week. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors show. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
I'm still living here in Fort Worth. I'm just the way I've always been. I played a show last night in Austin.